This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
This morning we look at one of the great parables. Sharon will read from the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And Dr. Wyatt will relate the story of a rich man and his mistaken notion that if only one came from the dead, they would believe.
And thank you, Dennis. This is a unique and profound parable, often misapplied. When its message is clear, we need Jesus Christ, His life, ministry, death, and resurrection, for it means everything. The excuse, if only, will not matter much at the end.
There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, full of sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead."
Thank you, Sharon. I do appreciate it. Our Lord here is not describing the afterlife, or even providing us with a portrayal of it before his resurrection. It is not about a warning for people to make sure of their ultimate destination. Not that that is not a good idea. In fact, it is a very good idea. But if that was Jesus' purpose in this story, it would not be a parable. But a parable it is, and from all accounts, Jesus has marvelously restructured a familiar folktale, and even given it a surprising ending. The story of the rich man and poor man had many ancient variations, but nothing like what we have from Jesus. And we will miss what Jesus is saying if we get sidetracked into imaginary depictions of heaven and hell. We are frequently misled by the assumption that Jesus is primarily concerned to teach people about how to get to heaven. That only lingers in the background. His chief concern is the kingdom, God's real purpose in humanity. What was the call of Israel from its beginning?
As he had with the parable of the father who longs for his wayward son, of the deserved fate of those who cause even the least to fall into a deadly snare. This is about God's call to those outside, the despised, leprous, crippled, the sinner. And that there are those who would ignore or reject God's purpose and all that is the law, prophets, and now the apostles. In our story, this marvelous parable, we are introduced to a nameless rich man. Tradition has provided a name, but Jesus purposely leaves him nameless, for he is unknown in the book of life, and perhaps we are invited to as well supply a name closer to home. The poor man is named Lazarus, which means God a help. That he is named has led many to believe that this is a historical person. And although a name in a parable is fairly unusual, it is a common name, and its meaning could, as a metaphor, mark the poor man as one who trusts that God will be of help. We are first told of the rich man in extravagant language. His clothing is the finest and most expensive. The purple-dyed cloth from Tyre was indeed a striking luxury that few could afford. The clothing of Lazarus is not even mentioned. Instead, we are told he was covered with sores. The rich man's food was of the most lavish kind. He seemed to have feasted on the fatted calf every day, while poor Lazarus longed to eat whatever would fall from the rich man's table. Just what the slaves would toss out to the scavengers in the street, what perhaps might be given to this poor, wretched man by slaves.
There he was, as the Greek says, literally dropped or left alone to fend for himself at the gates of this rich man's palatial estate. Lazarus has no home, but just exists outside the gate. Perhaps he's crippled, which would explain his deplorable state. There he competes with the dogs for the scraps, the waste, and the dogs abuse him further by licking his wounds. He is seen as less than human, unclean, the refuse of society, thoroughly an outcast. There he lay, where the rich man and all his friends would have to pass and see his wretchedness. Here he begs for any mercy. You see, there were no hospitals, no agencies or welfare to help. His only means of existence was the mercy and generosity of others. Even the leftovers from the rich man's table would be a bounty. Obviously, not one biblical passage about mercy to the destitute, of helping the helpless, ever entered the rich man's mind. Then Lazarus dies and is carried by angels to the bosom of Abraham. We hear nothing of burial, only of his angelic care. If he was buried, it would be minimal. More likely, as Jesus' audience would fully know, his body possibly would be disposed of with the city's refuse, perhaps even burned. That possibility should not be missed. A lack of burial was considered in the ancient world as carrying the curse of God. And compared with the fact that the rich man also died, but he was buried, only emphasizes this difference. To the ancients, one man was seen as accursed and the other blessed. Religions, and I mean human religions, have all had a propensity, a desire to equate success, wealth, with God's blessing, and poverty, wretchedness, with God's displeasure. The two here cannot be so joined. Jesus repudiates here the idea that we all get what we deserve in this lifetime. That would be nice, but it is just not always so. It is not that success means you are selfish or damned, but it is surely no indication that you are divinely blessed either. The blessings of God is clearly based on something other than one's bank account. Indeed, Jesus implies that often it is more of a hindrance. And here he is striking at the hypocrisy, the indifference and callousness of much of the Judaic hierarchy. For you see, Jesus, in welcoming, in ministering to the poor, the destitute, and the outcast, has been criticized by the Pharisees, scribes, and the priestly class. Jesus gathers, brings to wholeness, enables those who were once discarded or who are left at the gates. Those you see in exile are brought now into a new age, a different existence. All of this the religious leaders couldn't see or didn't want to. So Jesus will use this unusual language and these parables to underscore their inability to see what God would do and is actually doing in his ministry. Angels carry poor Lazarus to the bosom of Abraham, into the comfort and attention of the famed patriarch and father of the Jewish nation. The rich man found himself in Hades. His callousness, his failure, his poor stewardship of his earthly blessings has brought him the ultimate separation from God. Now let us not make these pictures presented here as proof texts for some view of the afterlife. Earthly terms are being used to describe something that defies description. Can we imagine disembodied spirits, especially the damned, seeing and speaking across some fixed and uncrossable gulf? And how do flames torment the demons for which Hades was actually made? But then perhaps the images here are to serve some other purpose. It is just that nowhere else in Scripture do we find such speculation concerning Sheol, Hades, Paradise, Gehenna, the grave, and the lake of fire, and all such terms used to label what we can only guess at. The Jews to this day believe that at death all souls go to Sheol, often called simply the grave, and that paradise or heaven is actually the proximity to the presence of God, and that separation or distance from that presence is hell, the everlasting torment. And that is not an unbiblical image. It is Jesus, our New Testament, that tells us that these two parts are separate. And then all the attempts to describe this presence of God have stretched human language to its limits. It is a joyous banquet, a wedding feast, a glorious city, and always there is the presence of God. The images of hell or Hades, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Gehenna, the Valley of Hinnom, arise from the ancient site for a reprehensible pagan ritual. This became the garbage dump for Jerusalem. Their fires continuously burned, and this became an apt symbol for the everlasting torment for those who reject, refuse, or otherwise oppose God's loving desire for all of humanity. Torment is the natural result of separation from God, and as is the case for the rich man, the consequences of living a life devoid of God, rejecting the admonitions of God's word, and a hardened heart to the needs of others. Despite the fact that now the rich man has been brought as low as is humanly possible, he is not humbled at all. He assumes Abraham is still his father and asks Lazarus to carry out acts of mercy to ease his state. Their roles are now reversed, and now Lazarus receives the comfort he was denied in life, and the rich man has not learned a thing. Even in a place separated from God, the rich man does not see that he is there because of his choices, chief among which was his rejection of God. And even now he devises a new method of proclaiming the gospel, a new means of grace, if you will, one that he believes should be applied especially in the case of his family. Here we come to the point of why we have Abraham and the rich man conversing across a fixed and uncrossable gulf. Jesus is only using common images to make a very startling point. What we can take is that some die with divine care and find justice and comfort, and others will not. And in death it is too late then to correct, modify, repent of our poor choices. Not that the rich man shows any remorse. He only insists that his family be warned, that such a place as hell, Hades, actually exists? And how many do we know that don't believe it does exist? For him, it is too late to change. There is no second chance, nor any other way to inform people of the truth. Death settles it all. And the Word of God, Moses and the prophets, are there for all to read. And now we can add to that the apostles. In the words of Father Abraham, they have the Word. They should listen to that. Still, so many will not and do not. But even this does not deter the rich man. He repudiates the words of Abraham. No, it's not enough. But if someone will go to them from the dead, then they will believe. This is exactly the point. There are those that no miracle, no sign, not even someone coming back from the dead will convince them. Remarkably, or it may not be, recorded in John's Gospel is the story of another Lazarus, who Jesus calls forth from the grave after 4 days. And many then would not believe. They even plotted to kill both Jesus and this friend of his, this Lazarus. We have to recognize that miracles, great wonders, do not convince the hardened heart, those intent on living the life they choose. They will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. I just do not believe that Jesus ends this parable with this statement all by chance. It is oh so true. Many still do not believe, and will never believe, no matter how convincing is our logic and our historical evidence of that resurrection. No matter how many lives are changed, prayers answered, no matter how many testify of healing, miracles in their lives, some will just never believe. It is sad and breaks God's heart. But clearly the Word, Scripture, our proclamation is enough. The rich man pleaded, if only one could be sent from the dead, or if only one could rise from the dead and speak. But you see, someone has. And we do so speak of this truth. And the Word of God also so proclaims. Let all who will listen, that they not find themselves in a place separated from God, a place of torment. Oh, how we do wish that we could adequately and convincingly proclaim the truth of God's Word always. Oh, help us, Lord, to always endeavor to be as fervent and convincing as possible, that your truth might be effective and touch all those your Spirit would call unto yourself. For it is always about thy kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, always for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen.
The parable of Lazarus and the rich man has had an effect on how some view life after death. However, this story is about those that will not heed the truth of Jesus Christ. If people will not hear Moses or the prophets, they will not believe even in one who is raised from the dead. And one who is raised from the dead, attested by many proofs, and seen alive by upwards to 500 people at one time, still people will not believe. This is why Dr. Wyatt wants you to have a copy of his book, The World's Hope. Here is presented the true importance and necessity of Jesus Christ to everything. He is the only hope. So do write and ask for your copy of The World's Hope. It can be yours at no charge. Dear ones, we want to tell you how much we appreciate all of your prayers and ask that you would consider being a part of our outreach. By supporting this ministry, an offering large or small can help so many. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.com. www.thepurpleheart.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. One has to enjoy this parable. Its message is so unmistakable, and the images indelible. So too is this testimony from Glenn of Mount Vernon, Washington, who writes to tell us he has complete use of his arm and leg. The effects of the stroke are completely gone, and he is praising God. We want you to write if you have any need of prayer. Dennis will provide our addresses once more. But now Chris Tomlin comes to sing, "The Cross Changes Everything." And until next week, do know our God is real.
As real as the ground beneath my feet and the very air I breathe, your mercy meets me here. And some will say this place belongs to history, but I can see, yes, I can see across the changes.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. As always, CDs of these programs are available. Dr. Wyatt is also offering this week a copy of his book, The World's Hope. This is a biblical look and that there is really only one hope for our world. So do write and ask for The World's Hope. It can be yours at no charge.
Our address is once more our Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna, asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.